you all. We're turning in our Bibles to Revelation, and tonight we're moving to chapter 16. Revelation chapter 16. A couple of weeks ago, we covered chapter 15, and we were looking at the safety of the saints, their song. They sing the song of the Lamb and of Moses, and in that chapter, the focus was upon the safety of the saints, even against God's wrath, and how they are protected. Then we have the seven golden vials. If you look at chapter 15, verse 7, and one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials, full of the wrath of God. And chapter 16 gives us those seven vials, and we're going to read them beginning at verse 1. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters say, thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and was and shall be, because thou hast judged thus. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink. For they are worthy. And I heard another out of the altar say, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues. And they repented not to give him glory. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain, and blasphemed the God of heaven, because their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, and the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world, to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked, and they see his shame. And he gather them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. And the seventh angel poured out his vial upon the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, it is done. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake, and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came in remembrance before God, to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. Amen. We'll end our reading just there. May the Lord bless his word to each and every heart. Thank you. You're listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. I hope you'll stay with us right through the program as we go to Revelation chapter 16. This is the book of great encouragement. May you be blessed today. Father in heaven, we thank thee for another time that we may gather here in your word, and we pray that you will speak to us. Oh Lord, speak to us individually, personally. Apply your word to our own hearts, that we might, as Samuel, hear thy voice. And we say, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. We pray, therefore, for your blessing and your help to our own hearts and to our own lives this evening through this time of ministry in the gospel. In our Savior's precious name, amen. Amen. Well, we're back in Revelation chapter 16, and we're looking at these seven vials. Vials or bowls. They are referred to either way, and they mean the same thing, so don't be confused by that. Now, you can understand that study in the book of Revelation requires a little bit of research, requires a little bit of time. What did I liken it to? You have to soak the seed. You have to let it grow on you. You just can't rush in and, oh, there's a nice text, and run with that and seek to get a few points and preach it. You have to get the big picture. You have to try and grasp all the parts of the puzzle. And as I was doing that, and I had a sheet of paper and all these seven vials and taking down the notes of, you know, what was happening in each one of them, and then something struck me. This really has been covered before, and many of these things have come up before. And then it struck me also, I was reading another commentary and pointed this out, that these seven vials or bowls of wrath, they cover many of the same incidents, events, and references of the seven vials. And so as I flipped back and forth from chapter 16 back to chapter 8, this became in my mind remarkable, absolutely staggering, that however this literature was compiled, and of course we believe it was inspired by the Holy Spirit, that John there on that lonely isle when he was receiving this book of Revelation, that it was God gave him what to write, and it is indeed a great proof of inspiration, because no mere man could have come with all these details and all this information with any sense of accuracy. And then I pondered, well, how could I possibly preach that? You know, I would have people going in chapter 16 and back to chapter 8 and back to 16 and flipping and back forth, looking at all these, and our minds just would not retain it all. So I struck on this idea of a table to help myself, firstly, and then I share it here with you. Now, if you take the time and go down these, you will be amazed. Now, the one that is the exception is number one. There's nothing very remarkable when you compare number one trumpet with number one vial. You don't see very much. But six out of seven is not bad. Six out of seven is still remarkable when you look at these same details. So let's do a couple. You know, we're not going to take the time to go through it all. That would be a lengthy exercise. We'd never really get to the preaching. But it would be, I think, good just to take a few moments to look at, well, let's look at number two to start with. Revelation 8, 8 and 9. Revelation 8, 8 and 9. And the second angel sounded, as it were, a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. Now, I digress again. One of the remarkable things we have here is the many allusions to the plagues that were sent upon Egypt. And one of them, as you know, was turning the Nile and all the water supply of Egypt into blood. That was really hit them hard. And that was a mighty incident in the history of the Egyptians that is recorded for all time. And when God wants to speak of judgment, just mention some of those plagues that hit in Pharaoh's time in Egypt. And you get the picture, you get the message that God is working against them. And so we see here when the trumpet sounds that you have, what do we read here? Chapter 8, verse 8. We have the fire cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. That was certainly God's doing at the blasting of the trumpet. Now, let's go to the parallel number 2 of the vial being poured out, or the bowl of wrath, chapter 16, verse 3. And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea. The same target, the sea, and the same result. It became as the blood of a dead man. And every living soul died in the sea. So the information that you get in chapter 8 is increased. We get another layer of further information in this series of the vials that are poured out. So that's just number 2. Let's do number 3 as well. Go back to chapter 8, 10. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood, which means bitter. And many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. Now, chapter 16, verse 4 through to 7 is number 3 vial or bowl that's poured out. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters say, Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shall be, because thou hast judged us. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. And they go on again to cry out that they are that way. And so you can see that it's affecting rivers, fountains become blood on both sides. And we can go down, and the comparisons just keep multiplying right down. Euphrates is mentioned in both places. The torments, the very seat of the beast is hell. And it's the place of torments, of pain and agony, and of darkness. That is in number 5. Number 6 is Armageddon, and that is referred to in both places. This great army of 200,000 men, horsemen, war is mentioned. And then the vial or bowl number 6 in Revelation 16:12. That's Euphrates is mentioned, and the Battle of Armageddon. And so these things are one layer of information on top of the other. And then the very final one. This is worthy taking notice. Let's go to chapter 11:15. 11:15. And this is the seventh angel sounding the trumpet. And the result of that sounding of that trumpet is that there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord. And so this is total victory. and there are the praises and the wonderful voices giving praise to the Lord God Almighty, and all the nations are giving praise to him. Now, when you come to the last one in chapter 16, and you go to verse 17, and the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, "It is done! Victory! It's over!" For there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since Babylon falls, verse 19. And then you'll notice in verse 21 that there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone. So it's all over. There is the final victory against the wicked and the final triumph of the people of God. Now, we have learned something, that the area, the events of that result in the seven, the result of the seven trumpets blowing, and the result of the seven vials poured out, they are the same events. They are the layers of different information about the same things that are taking place, and they build the picture of God's wrath being poured out upon the wicked. What does that teach you? What does that show you as to how we should interpret the book of Revelation? That means that the book of Revelation is not written in a page-by-page chronological timeline. You can't just go from chapter 8 and say, well, that's over now. Go to chapter 9, that's over now. Chapter 10, that's all over now. No, you will find that this book of Revelation is in sections. Seven trumpets, that's one big section. And then we have these seven vials, that's another big section. But it's like layers of information on top of each other, and it's like going back to the beginning again, and then each of these sections ends in the triumph of the saints and the destruction of the wicked. So that is an interpretive key that we must follow in the book of Revelation. I don't know what you're going to call it. You might want to call it the overlap principle, or you might want to call it the layered principle of interpretation. But each section of the book goes through the whole period of time, and then the next section of the book goes back and rehearses over the same period of time. So these events that we're reading of are not just the very, very, very last days, weeks before the Lord returns. This is really the world we're living in. It's the world that everybody has lived in. It's the world that has been enduring the wicked works of the devil, these works of deceit and destruction, and then the wicked persecuting the church, and the Lord intervening to safeguard his people. So we cannot say we're in one period of time or in a certain category. We are subject to the warnings of the trumpets, and we're also subject to the vials of wrath that are poured out against the wicked. This was true in the first century. It was true throughout each century. So we can say that the reader of this book of Revelation must apply this to their own situation in their own day in which they live. Whether it was Augustine in the 3rd or 4th century, or whether it was John Calvin in the 15th century, or C.H. Spurgeon in the 19th century, or us now in the 21st century, God is speaking to us through these symbolic, amazing, pictorial events, and he is speaking to his church at every period of time. Otherwise, you and I would say, well, there's no point in us reading this, because until these things start happening, It's all future to someday down the road. Why are we even looking at this if it doesn't apply to us today? And that is a very vital method of interpretation in this book. Now, what do we learn out of these trumpets and vials or bowls of wrath? Trumpets warn, bowls get poured out. And the picture is that God's wrath is real. That's the big message that we have here. There are many in the world today that scorn the idea of a God of wrath. They mock the idea of being an evangelical Christian, a Bible believer, to the point where God is not just love, and He is love, but He is a God who truly hates sin and will judge it. Or as Paul the Apostle warned in Romans 1, that the nations are under the wrath of God. That's real. And when we get here to this book of Revelation, things get dramatic. They get vivid. They are represented or presented to us in very picturesque, symbolic terms. And we must not miss the reality that the God whom we worship is a God who is a God of wrath. Wrath will really happen. As I said, trumpets warn, but bowls actually pour out. And what God hates, He shall judge. And God always follows up on His warnings. And you can go through the Bible, and there are untold examples of that. Whether it's Sodom and Gomorrah or the days of Noah, God warned the wicked. And because of their non-repentance, they were eventually judged. God must pour out His wrath upon the wicked. It is easy to deny God's wrath when you don't comprehend God's character. You probably heard about the two men that walked around a pyramid or tried to describe a pyramid, and one said it's brown, the other said, no, it's black. And they went on and on and on, and they insisted, no, it's brown, it's black. And what they had done is they just had seen one side of it. If they had walked around the pyramid, they would have seen that there were different sides to the pyramid. And when we study the character of God, we must not only see one side of Him. He is a God of love, a God of grace and mercy, but He is also a God of infinite holiness. And He reacts to our sin in justice. He's a God of justice. He is punctilious in His exactitude of administering justice. You might want to say He is in the courtroom a perfect judge who judges according to law and to righteousness. And that is the many sides to the God whom we serve. Now, as creator, God is responsible for His creation. And I think when we go through the book of Revelation, we get a great picture that God is in absolute control. He is in control of all His creatures, even the devil. And Satan can only do those things that are permitted. If it's given to him, he may do it. But if not, the devil must do the bidding of God. And so God is the creator, and He's responsible for all His creatures. He is the judge of all the earth. And in that office as creator, He is responsible for your actions and my actions. Now get that into your mind. God is responsible for what I do and say. And God is going to respond accordingly to whether my words and actions and the intents of my heart are right or evil. and he will, as the judge of all the earth, come down on perfect judgment upon our actions. And as judge of all the earth, responsible for all his creatures, he cannot change his nature. God cannot change for the better nor the worse. He cannot be a party to any act or action that is sinful. He cannot tolerate that which is offensive to his own life and nature. And therefore, he's responsible. Now, I want to follow through on that. Now, our heading is God's wrath is real. And as I mentioned, this is contested all the time. We're living in a culture that despises Christianity, that preaches the wrath of God upon immorality. But it is absolutely true, as we learn here in this passage of the Bible. Now, what is it that makes God perfectly responsible? It is his own nature. God is omniscient. He's all-knowing. He sees everything. He hears everything. He's a witness to all that we do. And that makes God responsible. Just if you are a witness to a crime, you have some responsibility because of the knowledge that you have about that. And if you hide that knowledge and do nothing, you might even be culpable of forwarding that evil, promoting that evil if you do nothing. Knowledge means responsibility. Knowledge means that you've got to do something now. And in our case, we would have to report it. If we witnessed a crime, if we saw someone acting immorally, in a violent manner perhaps, or even murder, we would have to give the information we know. If we don't, then we're aiding and abetting the criminal. Now, God sees, God witnesses, and he cannot be lax. He cannot just wash his hands, do and say nothing. Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. as we let the Bible speak.